My text this morning is 1 Chronicles 15, 16, and I'll read that again. Then David spoke to the chiefs of the Levites to appoint their relatives, the singers, with instruments of music, harps, lyres, loud-sounding cymbals, to raise sounds or voices of joy. It seems only a little while ago that I was standing in a base camp in Vietnam and preaching the gospel in a little chapel setting which was out of doors. I was preaching on the resurrection of Jesus Christ and setting forth the gospel and the resurrection of that which validates the fact that Jesus Christ is the one who indeed has borne all of our sins and taken them away from us and given us the privilege of living in the presence of God. And as I was preaching, probably 100 yards away, a helicopter was landing, coming down, and those of you who know me would gather that I would keep on preaching even though a helicopter was landing. And so I did, and as I was preaching, I noticed that on the berm where that helicopter had landed, the crew and the occupants of that helicopter were standing and listening to what was going on in our chapel service. This was probably 100 yards away, and they were at a distance. Members of our little congregation and this situation preaching out of doors. Of course, this was a very public situation in which the corporate worship of God was in a very public setting, and those who had flown in literally were observing from a distance. In our text this morning, we also have a very public situation and public worship. And David, who is the king, is instituting song in the worship of God and calling the Levites to lead in the singing of the praises of God and calling them to sing for joy before the Lord. And in a similar manner, the Lord Jesus Christ today, as David called for that public praise long ago, our Lord Jesus Christ today calls people like us to gather together publicly to sing for joy before the Lord. And so really that's my point this morning, that like David called the Levites to sing for joy before the Lord publicly in public assembly in his days, today the Lord Jesus Christ calls you and me, servants of God, priests of God, to sing publicly and to sing for joy by the power of the Holy Spirit before our God. Let's see how this is worked out in our text this morning in 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 16. You'll notice, first of all, that the writer here, the chronicler, speaks of the Levites. Then David spoke to the chief of the Levites to appoint their relatives, the singers. Who are these Levites? Well, of course, you recall that the Levites were one of the tribes of Israel. And when the people of Israel came out of Egypt, because God had slain all of the firstborn of Egypt and brought out the people of Israel as his son out of bondage, he claimed all of the firstborn of the people of Israel as his own. And then he turned to the tribe of Levi and he said, rather than taking all of the firstborn of Israel out of their respective homes, I will take the tribe of Levi for myself. And I will give the tribe of Levi in the place of all of the firstborn in the houses of Israel, I will give the tribe of Levi to Aaron to minister in the holy place of God, the tabernacle. And because God had given the Levites to Aaron to be ministers and servants of God, the Levites were often called the Levitical priesthood. And you can look that up in your computer, that language. They are often called the Levitical priests. And so they were considered priests of God. And one of the reasons that I bring this to your attention is that we just read in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 9, what does Peter say? Lo and behold, we are the company of believers, Christians, are a holy priesthood. And so I bring this to your attention at the outset to indicate to you that this text is not something that is obscure, that speaks about things that occurred hundreds of years ago. Yes, it does, but it applies, you see, directly to the likes of us, to you and to me. We are the priesthood. And so we ought to make that connection immediately in the text. And we are, as the writer to the Hebrews says, interestingly enough, the church of the firstborn. The whole idea of the firstborn comes to the fore. And the firstborn are those who are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's you and me. And so this text, again, is speaking about us. And in addition, the Levites were those to whom God spoke and said, you're not going to have any inheritance in the land. Right? All the other tribes are going to have a parcel of land. But you Levites are not going to have a parcel of land. Now, you might have thought that then their chins would have dropped onto their chests and they would have been a little sad about that. But their inheritance was far greater. God said to them, I am your inheritance. Not any parcel of land. I myself am your inheritance. And the same is true for you and me, you see. We are just like those Levites of old. Your inheritance is the God of heaven and all the treasures of heaven as you come to faith in Jesus Christ and trust Jesus Christ. And so, my friends, this text is about you and me. This text has lessons for you and me. Well, as we get into the text, we find out that the Levites had two specific tasks to perform. Look again at the beginning of 1 Chronicles 15, if you would. Verse 2. Then David said, no one is to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord chose them to carry the ark of God and to minister to him forever. You see, there were two primary functions, two primary duties David outlines for the Levites. And actually, these two primary duties go back into the law of Moses. We won't take time to do that this morning, but you can make that connection. And so David is not just picking these things out of the air. He's building upon the law of Moses. And he's saying that the Levites have two principal duties. And the first of these duties he begins to explain. And the bulk of that explanation on the first side of those duties comes in verses 11 and following. Would you read those with me? Then David called for Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Aminadab, and said to them, you are the heads of the father's households, of the Levites. Consecrate yourselves, both you and your relatives, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place I have prepared for it. Because you did not carry it at first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us. for we did not seek him according to the ordinance. So the priests and the Levites consecrated themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. The sons of the Levites carried the ark of God on their shoulders with poles thereon, as Moses had commanded according to the word of the Lord. You'll recall that there was a previous attempt to bring the ark of God up to Jerusalem, and this was David's goal, to bring the ark of God up to Jerusalem, because the ark of God was the symbol of God's presence among his people. And David coveted the presence of God among the people, and so he desired to bring the ark of God up to Jerusalem. The first attempt failed because they did not follow properly the ordinances of God. And David now directs very specifically the Levites to carry the ark of God and to bear it on poles on their shoulders up to Jerusalem, to the place where God in the end appointed, but David appointed. And of course, that ark was, I should have said this, this ark was this gold box that God had directed Moses to construct, a place in the most holy place in the tabernacle. And it had been pilfered by the Philistines in an earlier war, and now it was being brought back up to Jerusalem. This was the first part of the duties of the Levites, to bear the ark of God. But now if you look at verse 2 again, there was a second duty, to minister to him forever. And what was this ministry? What was this service? David begins to explain this service in verse 16 of 1 Chronicles 15. Then David spoke to the chiefs of the Levites and appointed their relatives to appoint their relatives the singers. Aha! The Levites were not only to be those who cared for the tabernacle and bore the Ark of the Covenant, but David now breaks out this duty for them to be singers before the Ark of God. Look at the text again. Then David spoke to the chiefs of the Levites to appoint their relatives, the singers, with instruments of music, harps, lyres, loud-sounding cymbals, to raise sounds of joy or voices of joy. Yes, the Levites were not only to bear the ark, as I say, but they were to be singers, to raise their voices with joy before the presence of God, before the tabernacle, that is, the ark which was being brought up before God. It's a very amazing circumstance. And we note that David, as the king, makes this appointment. Don't miss this, friends. It is David who makes this appointment. Then David spoke to the chiefs of the Levites to appoint their relatives, the singers. David, as the leader of the nation and as a prophet of God, makes the appointment that the Levites are to sing before the Lord. And they are to sing before the Lord, not privately. This is not to be a situation in which David has a little tent in a courtyard that's set off from the rest of the people in a private situation. But this is to be a very public demonstration of praise. And we see this first of all in 1 Chronicles 15:3. And David assembled all Israel at Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord, to place it in its place which he had prepared for it. All of Jerusalem was present. This was a huge public gathering. And then in chapter 16, you see what is to take place when the ark is established in that tent where David wanted it to be placed. Read with me in chapter 16, verses 1 and following, if you will. And they brought in the ark of God and placed it inside the tent which David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. Then David had finished offering the burnt offering and the peace offerings. He blessed the people in the name of the Lord. He distributed to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread and a portion of meat and a raisin cake. He appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord, even to celebrate and to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel. There you have it again. David's appointment for the Levites to sing their praise before God in a public setting before the ark of God. I'm afraid that in our day, religion, as it is called, is too often called a private matter. And this was never God's intent. It was public then with David, and it's public now with Christ. It was public then with David, who was a forerunner of Jesus Christ, and it's public now with Jesus Christ, who was typified and foreshadowed in that earlier worship, Jesus Christ and His church. Christianity is not a private matter, friends. It's a public matter. And praise before God is a public matter. I don't know how many of you saw this or remember it, but recently there were two Fox television channel employees who were kidnapped by Hamas. A correspondent and a cameraman. And their whereabouts were unknown for about 2 weeks. And of course, everyone feared the worst. But then we saw those two men on a video clip in which it was said, and they later testified to be true, they were told to renounce their faith and embrace Islam upon the pain of death. Now, this is a very public matter. And they signed the papers to embrace Islam. Do you know what Jesus Christ says? Do you remember what Jesus Christ says? If you do not confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father in heaven. And when I saw that clip, my heart sank. And I had to think about myself. What would I do in that circumstance? And I would hope that I would confess Jesus as Lord. As my Lord. I heard yesterday on television from a very reliable source, a senator in this state, that very video clip is one of the most popular video clips being shown in the Muslim world today. The faith that we hold is not a private matter. It's a public matter. And as David called those Levites to sing for joy and profess their faith before God publicly, you too are called publicly to raise your voices and to profess your faith in the living God and in Jesus Christ. And how is this to be carried out? I think our text begins to indicate how it is that we are to carry this out. Look at it again, if you would. Then David spoke to the chiefs of the Levites to appoint their relatives, the singers, with instruments of music, with lyres, loud-sounding harps, lyres, loud-sounding cymbals, to raise sounds of joy, the New American Standard Version says. And it could be better translated with voices of joy, because it is the voice that is in view here. And in the New American Standard Version, the note about the instruments is set off with commas. And we might read the text this way. Then David spoke to the chiefs of the Levites to appoint their relatives, the singers, to raise voices with joy. See, it is the Levites who were the singers, who were to raise their voices in joy before the Lord. And of course, as we've said already, this is our task. To help us understand what this means, I'd like you to look at 1 Chronicles 25, if you would. 1 Chronicles 25. First Chronicles 25:1 says, Moreover, David and the commanders of the army set apart for the service some of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and Jeduthun, who were to prophesy with lyres, harps, and cymbals. They were to prophesy with harps and lyres and cymbals. You see, prophecy, or the idea of prophecy, is put in the place of singing here. And the intimation is that this singing is prophecy. They were to prophesy with lyres and harps and cymbals. Matthew Henry says, with regard to 1 Chronicles 25:1, singing the praises of God is here called prophesying. He goes on to say, the psalms they sang were composed by the prophets, and many of them were prophetical. See, the songs themselves they sang were prophetical and inspired by the prophets. And we are grateful to God that we have the same today in that book of Psalms for singing that we utilize every Sabbath day. The singing is a form of prophesying. Back to 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 16. I think this is a crucial connection, friends. That when we sing songs of joy, We are to sing the words of prophecy, and we are to prophesy, and we are to set forth the word of God, and the goodness of God, and the greatness of God, and to sing for joy before Him. Interestingly enough, in 1 Chronicles 16, where we also have the command to sing for joy before the Lord, in the middle of that chapter, there are three examples of the types of song enjoined by David. And we've sung one of them, Psalm 105. That's one of the psalm portions present in Psalm 16. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, verse 8. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Speak of all His wonders. Glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. There's one of the types of song that we are to bring before God. And part of the interesting thing about all of this is that if singing is a form of prophecy, what is it? It is none other than Spirit-engendered song and Spirit-engendered praise. It is praise powered by the Holy Spirit of God. Let me ask you a question then, this morning. Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Has God been pleased to give you the gift of His Holy Spirit? Do you have a heart inclined by the power of the Spirit to love God? I submit to you, you are therefore equipped to give forth that Spirit-engendered prophesying praise to God. Is that not the case? Think it through, friends. Think of what God has been pleased to give you. And when we think of the fact that one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, joy, peace. I needn't go on because we've already mentioned joy. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Are you not equipped by God to lift your heart and your voice in praise to God with joy? I would think the answer is yes and amen that this is the case. I remember quite well an elderly gentleman in the Sterling congregation in central Kansas who is now quite elderly and in the Presbyterian Manor there in Sterling, who always said he could not carry a tune in a wheat truck. He had to get a bigger container. And that was quite true. He couldn't. But often you could hear him and his voice off key in the middle of the congregation because he loved to sing for joy, albeit outside of the melody being carried by the rest. He loved to sing for joy before the Lord. And I used to love to hear that voice being raised sometimes above the rest. And so it is, my friends, that if you say you don't have the voice for it, that may be, but you may still shout for joy before the Lord and sing in your way and in your voice before Him, and you ought to do the same. And then what about these instruments? What about these instruments mentioned in our text? Then David spoke to the chiefs of the Levites, to appoint their relatives, the singers, with instruments of music, harps, lyres, loud-sounding cymbals, to raise voices with joy. What about these instruments and this singing? I'd like you to turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 14 and a mention of harps in Revelation chapter 14. And we see in this section of the book of Revelation the worship of heaven and the raising of the voices of the saints of God in heaven with joy before the Lord. Revelation chapter 14. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. Here are the people of God represented by this vast number who bear the seal of the name of the Lamb upon them. They are the people of God. And you'll notice in verse 3, they sang a new song. They sang a song with a newness of heart, and they sang that song before the throne and before the Lamb. Verse 2 tells us a little bit about what John heard in this singing. And I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like harpists playing on their harps. This voice, this huge choir singing with one voice, raising in heaven their voices in joy and praise to God, John says, was like harpists playing their harps. And a large number of them could sound like thunder coming forth. And it would be a melodious sound. You see, the picture that John sees is a picture of people singing. There are actually no harps in the picture. That's what's interesting about the picture. There are no harps in the picture. John says their singing was like those strumming their harps. That's what the voices were like. And there is a similarity struck between the raising of our voices in praise to God and the sound of the harpists playing, many of them. And the imagery, I think, is quite simple. The imagery, friends, is this, that the imagery of the harpist playing is the imagery of the song of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, being brought before the face of God with great joy and with great melody. That's the similarity that is struck. Now let's go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 16. Yes, in the Old Testament economy, they had those harps and they had those lyres and they had those crashing cymbals. And the trumpets are not mentioned here. They are mentioned later by the chronicler. But what are those harps that those Levites held? But a symbol and a type and a picture of Spirit-empowered praise before God. And as they plucked those harps, they were to realize that they were to sing for joy empowered by the Holy Spirit of God before the presence of God. That's what that picture gives us. And now in the present economy, when all of those ceremonial accoutrements have fallen away, and those plucking of the harps are no longer existent, the voice of the believer empowered by the Holy Spirit of God still is present in the church of God to sing praises and to raise voices with joy before the Lord. I don't know how many of you realize this, but the great preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon in London, in his tabernacle, would not have an instrument present. Did you realize that that was the case? He was a Baptist preacher, too. But he would not have an instrument present. And he challenged the members of his congregation this way. Can you not raise your voices in praise to God by the power of the Holy Spirit resident within you? Do you actually need some external stimulation as if you were a corpse lying in a grave? Do you need some external stimulation to raise your voices in praise to God? Is not the Holy Spirit sufficient? And would this not be the case? If the fruit of the Spirit of joy is in your heart by the redemption of Jesus Christ, and God has placed within you a deep-seated joy in Him, are you not fully equipped by the grace of God to lift your voice in joy and sing with joy before the Lord? I say to you, friends, as David commanded the Levites of old to be the singers before the presence of God and to lift their voices with joy before the Lord, so Jesus Christ appoints you, dear congregation, to publicly and corporately lift your voices in praise before God. There are many people these days who are going back to Roman Catholicism and to Eastern Orthodoxy. And I know ministers and pastors who have left Reformed churches in favor of Eastern Orthodoxy because they say they want to get the feel and the sound and the smell of something ancient. They want to smell the incense, and they want to feel the robes, and they want to hear the tinkling of the bells. I say to you, dear friends, if you have the Holy Spirit of God and raise your voices in joy before the Lord with the prophetic word that has been given to you, you are connected to David, which is something much more ancient. And you are connected to something which is much more important. you are connected to heaven itself and to the saints which are gathered around the throne of God, singing their praises with joy before the Lord, sounding like harpists playing on their hearts. And so it is, dear friends. And this is our point once again, that just like David appointed the Levites long ago to sing for joy before the Lord, he has appointed you, dear congregation, to publicly and corporately sing his praise before a watching world and before his throne. Sing with joy, my friends. Sing with joy before the Lord. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, how good you are to us. You equip us and you work with us. We are so feeble. We are such like the world in so many ways and tied with the things of this earth in so many ways. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with the prospects of heaven. Fill us with that joy of the Spirit. And cause us, Lord, cause us to lift our voices with joy before you and unashamedly to do so here in this place and in other settings. Hear our prayer, we ask. And grant your people that joy in worshiping you and in singing to you, we pray. In the great name of Jesus, who is the Lord. Amen.